It's Christmas. It's Christmas in Velocity tonight. It's Christmas in September. If you guys haven't been here, last weekend we were out of town, but the weekend before that we were starting our Kingdom Come series, the Gospel, Matthew. We looked at Genesis chapter 3, and we saw how God, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, made a promise to you and me that he would take care of Satan, he would take care of evil forever. And now we're going to actually be in the book of Matthew, so let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Let's pray really fast. God, thank you so much. Lord, you are good, and God, we just want to know more about your goodness, Lord. I pray that tonight we would see how you stepped down from heaven and you became a man, God, just like us, Lord. You were born of a woman. You went through the same things we're going through, God. Although you were God, you were definitely man as well. God, thank you for this night. Please bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in November and December 2005, I did a little research. Americans spent $216.3 billion at large chain stores around the country. Just Americans. That's amazing, right? And that is what we call holiday spending. That's November and December holiday giving. That averages out to be about $800 per family. Now, I don't know who here's mom and dad is buying them $800 worth of stuff. But if you are, you guys got the hookup, dude. That's legit because I got like $80. I got $8 worth of stuff when I was a kid. But since the recession, that's been cut down in half. But you guys know the deal. Christmas, they call it the season of giving. It's time to give a present, receive a present, and do those things, right? And we're going to look at where that all comes from. And we're going to see how that all works. And we're going to see how 2,000 years ago, God gave us a present. And it's a present that we can enjoy every single day. It's not like this present that we use for a couple of days and then we're like, dude, this is lame. We don't even want this thing anymore, right? This is something that'll last forever. And this is Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Christ in Christmas, right? You can't spell Christmas without the Christ. I love it. Every time I go in December and November to go places, it's like, happy holidays. I'm like, Merry Christmas. I always make sure to say Merry Christmas back to whoever says happy holidays. Because let's face it, they're trying to take away our own holiday where we celebrate the birth of Christ, Jesus himself coming into on earth to step in, to take our place. And so we always need to remember that. I'm always like blown away when I'm like, who are these non-believers that celebrate Christmas? I'm like, you guys know what we're here for, right? It's the birth of Christ. And you don't believe in the birth of Christ, but you're still going to like give presents and maybe even say a prayer before meal and stuff like that. It just seems crazy that they would do those kinds of things. Christmas is an awesome time of year. One of my favorite. The sights, the sounds, the smells, it's just Christmas. You can just tell when it's coming. But we got to remember that it's all about Christ. And just like the Gospel of John says, the Word became flesh, which means Jesus, the Word of God, became a man, flesh. He came down and did that. And it's about God overcoming sin for us. It's fine to enjoy the trees, enjoy the lights, enjoy the thoughts of some guy with like a gigantic belly actually trying to stuff himself down a chimney, right? It's okay to do all those things, but we need to remember that it's about Jesus coming to earth to be a man, to understand what we're doing, to take our place. And today isn't December 25th, and I know this. You're like, what? What's up with the Christmas message in the middle of September? But that's because the Christmas story comes at the beginning of Matthew, and that's exactly where we are. So we're going to be seeing that we can celebrate this more than one time a year. So our first point of the night, you guys, and our only point of the night where we're going to camp all night is called Gift from God. That's our first point. We're going to be in chapter 1. We're going to be also in parts of chapter 2, but just very briefly. So I don't know about you guys, but check this out. When it comes to Christmas, I'm like Mr. Christmas Eve dude, right? Like everybody's done all their shopping, and then here's me like, Oh my God, it's seriously December 24th. Are you serious? Oh man, what am I going to do? And I plan ahead for a lot of stuff in my life. I really do. But I always wait to the last minute to go shopping. And then when I go shopping, finally I get it all done. And what do? I spend the whole night begging my wife or somebody to wrap all the presents for me. And usually she's like, I got my own stuff to do. Sorry, I can't do it. And I'm like, are you serious? You're not even going to help me out and wrap these presents? But so what do I do? What do I do? You know, she's not going to wrap them for me. So what do? I ask my mom. Of course. She's your mom, dude. She'll hook it up, right? So my mom sometimes does it, and I usually do it. And it's not because I'm lazy. It's because I'm like the worst rapper in the world. Like, I'm the guy who's like, here you go, sis. And like a big chunk is not even covered, so she can see what it is before she even unwraps. She's like, why did you wrap 3/4 of it? You should have just gave it to me then, because I can totally see everything that's there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry about that. I'm not the best, the best rapper. So that's why I beg people to do it for me. But check this out. Here's the good thing. God is not a last-minute shopper. God's not a last-minute gift giver. When God decided to give us the gift of Christ in our lives, it was perfect timing. It wasn't late. It wasn't early. It was God's perfect timing. And we saw 2 weeks ago, you guys, that in Genesis chapter 3, all the way back in the Bible, that far away, that God made a promise to us. And he said that he would crush Satan's head and crush evil. It was awesome. And he said that he's going to do all that. And we saw that. And this gift I speak of that God has given us is the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life. Coming into the world, taking a punishment that we deserved because it was our sin. All the way from Adam and Eve, what we looked at 2 weeks ago. Since they sinned, sin entered the world, and therefore death entered the world, and then we are all susceptible to death. That is why we die. You want to know why you have to die? That is why. Because somebody a long time ago, 6,000 years ago, sinned, and now it's crept into the world and made this horrible disease. Okay, so here we are. Adam and Eve, our first parents, to us right here now. I'm going to read verse 1 and then verse 17, actually. So I'm skipping really quick. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. So, just like we talked about how God in Genesis said that the one would crush Satan's head, he also said that was going to come from Eve's lineage. Because he said the woman's seed will crush Satan's head. So that means that this person had to come from the lineage of Eve. And so that's what we see. You see this? You see the part that I didn't read? Verse 2 through 16? All of those names are people who Matthew chose to use to show you that God promised that they were going to come, that the Messiah would come from the lineage of Eve. And so he's saying, here's all the names. Trace them back if you want. These are all, not all the people, but this is the line, the family tree of people that Matthew chose to use to prove to you guys and to prove to Jews that Jesus is the guy that we've been waiting for. He is the Messiah. You see, Matthew was a Jew, and he was writing to Jews. So right here, he's showing the Jews who knew of this promise in Genesis 3 that, hey, this guy's legit. This is the guy. We've been waiting for this guy for a long time. We've been waiting for somebody who would come from Eve's lineage and crush Satan. So that's why he does it. To us, it seems like a bunch of boring names, right? I dare you guys to try to read all those names and do them perfectly and fast. You would be there for a little while, a long time. But here's the deal. To Jews, this would have been a very normal way to start off a story about a man who's very interesting, or if you're trying to prove something, this is very normal to have a lineage of what his pedigree was and who he came from. So this list of people, very amazing lists. You guys could get your own family tree. You guys could do that too. You could see many generations ago. And here's the deal. You guys could get to you on a family tree just from your dad, just from your mom, with a little bit of your mom and a little bit of your dad, a little bit of these people. Like, it's not, you don't necessarily have to use every single person in your life to reach you on a family tree. And that's the exact same thing that Matthew's doing here. Matthew chose a specific people to show us who Jesus was, and I love it. You can use, these names are very different and very well chosen for a reason. Women, okay, he chose women to put in the genealogy. That's not normal. Back in this day, ladies, I'm sorry, but you were not very well looked at. You had no rights. You were pretty much belonged to your husband. And so that's just what it was. And listen to this. All the women that he used, Matthew, these weren't just regular women. Listen to this. Tamar and Rahab, they were prostitutes. Ruth was a foreigner. She wasn't even a Jew. Ruth and Bathsheba were both adulteresses. They both committed adultery. Scholars believe that the reason Matthew chose to use women was to, for a couple reasons. One, to show that God, Jesus, was coming for everybody. He wasn't just coming for dudes. He wasn't just coming for girls. He wasn't just coming for Jews. He wasn't just coming for sinners. He was coming for every single person. Jesus was coming for everybody, and that's why he chose the girls. Also, scholars believe it was to put the men in place on their masculinity, right? Dudes are all, girls ain't got nothing on me. And God's like, bam, I'm going to put them right there in the lineage of the Messiah. That's how much I care about girls. So he's saying, hey, God's coming for all these different people, the non-Jew, the adulterer, the sinner, the fornicator, women, men, everybody. That's why they use this list. It's very cool. And he says, I love that he puts them in their place for the masculinity, right? Because he's saying women are equal heirs to the kingdom of God. The last woman that he uses was Mary, Jesus' mother. You guys know Mary. But something changes, okay? Something changes when they get to Mary, okay? Because it goes from being the father of in this genealogy, right? And now it goes, right when we get to Mary, it says, of whom born Jesus. Now the reason I'm going to do this is because I want you guys to follow me, okay? I'm going to bring this around for you. I'm going to read 16 real fast, verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, also called the Christ. I want you guys to look at that with me. You guys all take English, grammar, literature classes. You guys all know that sentences are comprised of different things, nouns, verbs, pronouns, adjectives, all these different kinds of words, right? And in many other languages, each word actually has either a feminine or a masculine version as well. And that's that in any, even in Spanish today, a ton of them, French, all feminine and masculine nouns. And the reason I'm telling you this, because where it says of whom in verse 16 is called a feminine relative pronoun. You're all, what am I in? What class is this? Is this philosophy or is this like, am I going to get a lesson here? But this is important because this indicates that Jesus was the physical child of Mary, but that he was not the physical child of Joseph. Okay? This is very important to know because right here in Isaiah 7:14, God says, behold, a virgin will conceive a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel. You know the song? Emmanuel means God with us. And isn't that the truth? God was born here on earth, and now he's fully God, and now he's here on earth, so he's fully, that he really is with us. So that's a very great thing to say. And this is just what happened, and I love it. Because you know what? God wrote that down in Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was born. So he's saying, here's this girl, a virgin, who's going to bear the Son of God, who's going to bear the Messiah. 700 years is going to go on, and then it's going to happen. So how amazing is that, that God's done that? Do you guys ever, you guys need to understand the virgin birth, okay? Because this is huge Christian doctrine. And doctrine is just a fancy word, you guys, for Christian principles. A collection of the teachings that we all believe in, that make up our faith. And the virgin birth is up there on the top. This is a very important thing. So, this shows what we believe. Then we needed to know that Jesus was fully man, because he was born of a woman, but we need to also understand that Joseph was not his father, okay? Joseph was his earthly father. Joseph took care of him, hung out with him, but he had no part in the birthing process. You right? Okay, you guys understand that? You know what I mean? He did not have relations with Mary. It's not like they had a kid. No, God chose to use Mary as a vessel to bring in the Son of God. So Joseph and Mary had no sexual relations, and it would have been obviously impossible then for Mary to get pregnant without that. So God got her pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, being fully God and fully man, could be the only person who could die for our sins. The only person. He's the only one who could ever do it. Because if he was just God, then he wouldn't be man. He wouldn't have been able to be born of a woman. And if he was just man, then he wouldn't have the power to raise himself from the dead. You guys understand that? He had to be both. Because it was Adam and Eve who messed up. It was man. And so God said, I'm going to do what is the best thing to do. And I myself will turn into a man but be born of a woman. And I'm not just going to appear on earth and be like, I'm a man now, kill me, and then be crucified and then die. No, Jesus went through it all. 33 years of life as a normal person like you and me. Fully man, fully God. Because that's the only way that he could have been born of a woman and conquered death. Because me and you, we don't have the power to conquer death. When we die, it's over. Without Jesus, okay? Right? Because we can't raise ourselves from the dead. We need somebody to do that for us. So when we die, Jesus raises us from the dead. He has the power to do that. And therefore, he had the power to do it when he came here on earth. He had the power to give up his own life and then bring it back up, which is so awesome. I love that he does that. So, let's see. This is the true meaning of Christmas, you guys. God becoming man. The God-man, Jesus. I love it. Check this out. I want to take a time out, all right? A little time out right here, because here's what I want to talk about. I want you guys to encourage you to look deep into the scriptures, okay? Everything that we just talked about, I had to do a lot of research on. The names, the virgin birth, all that stuff. If you guys were just reading your Bibles and read over all those names, you might be like, okay, that's cool that he named all those names, big deal. But if you did some studying, you would have known that God used the women's names for a reason, like we just talked about, right? And that's something you can only get by studying the Bible and by doing that. So how many of you guys went to Lone Tree? Right? Okay, we got a lot of people at Lone Tree. Here's the deal. Remember what Steve talked about, meditation? Remember how he said he was headed up the canyon and he saw this deer carcass, like, ripped open? Okay? Because this mountain lion had been feasting on that thing, like, all night. Right? So the thing just had a big old hole in it. And that is what meditation, that is what Bible study is, okay? It's tearing apart the scriptures. When it comes to your daily quiet time with God, it's not about quantity, it's about quality, okay? You guys, I don't want you to get up in the morning and be like, oh, dude, I read two chapters. Man, that was good. Peace. I'd rather you read one verse and meditate it and think about all the things and look into it. Read commentaries. Find out what other people have to say about this verse. Because that is what is important, to meditate on these things, to tear it apart like that mountain lion did. You guys got to chew on this stuff all day. Think of it. And that's the best part. You guys, I want you to read for quality, not for quantity. So let's go back in. Time back in, all right? We're back. I want to go back to the story. We're going to be in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Child of the Holy Spirit. So it clearly shows that Joseph had no part in this. There was no sexual relationship between them. Therefore, there was no pregnancy possible by Joseph. You see, marriage back then was different. For these two people to be betrothed and for her to show up pregnant was a big deal. You see, you guys, here's the deal. Our world, it doesn't, they don't look at pregnancy or anything as special. If you don't want to have a baby, you can go get an abortion. That's what this world says is okay. The world says, hey, having a baby is like having a sore throat. Like, just go get it taken care of, right? And that's what the world says. And that's what is so wrong and disgusting about the world. And that's why we need to live outside of it. We have to be in it, right? But we don't have to be of it. You guys know that. And so that is the deal, you guys. You need to remember that. Back then, it was a very big deal. But for today, it's not a big deal. And here's the deal, you guys. You may not believe it, but you guys are only 5-6 years away from voting, okay? And this is why it's so important to be a strong Christian and in your stance for what you believe and what God wants you to vote for. You guys will be voting in the next couple of years. You guys will elect presidents that will run things, change things. That's why it's so important to vote for the candidate, not who you like most, not who's going to lower taxes, not who's going to make your life easier, but for the one who is most like God would want you to vote, right? That's what we do. Who doesn't want a tax break? But who cares about taxes? People are dying from abortion. Millions of people are dying yearly, and it's something that we need to combat. But so like I said, back in Joseph's time, to be found pregnant outside of marriage was a huge deal. It was public scandal. It was crazy. Look what it says, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So this could ruin Joseph's whole reputation if this gets out. If somebody's like, wait, you guys aren't even married yet, and she's got a kid. Something has gone wrong here. So he's either probably thinking, well, I got to do something about this. You know what I mean? And he's probably thinking, maybe Mary cheated on me. I don't know. Maybe she did something with some other guy, and that's why she's pregnant. The Bible doesn't say exactly what Joseph was thinking, but it says that he wanted to put her away. Scholars believe this could be two things. Secretly divorce her or stone her. Isn't that crazy that he thought about that? Maybe he did. It doesn't say. It says he wanted to put her away. And he had back then, he had a right. If a woman committed adultery, she could be stoned. It was just like that. That's the way it was. And that's crazy, isn't it? But no worries, right? No worries. This is God's story. If Jesus is clearly the Messiah, won't God take care of him? Won't God make sure that the story is going to continue, that everything's going to be a perfect plan? Of course he will. And that's why we're going to read what's going to happen. Side note, girls, ages 12 to 14. Scholars believe that Mary was about 12 to 14 years old when she bore Jesus. Don't ever say you're too young to be used by the Lord, right? I mean, for sure, that's really young. That's crazy, but that's how old she was. But this is God's perfect plan. So let's read 20 and 21. Let's see what God's going to do about this, because Joseph's like, I got to do something about it. Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take your wife, for which is conceived in her is that of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. You guys, God is in control of your life right now, just as in control as he is in the story, okay? You need to remember that. We're going to see how Jesus' life had plenty of obstacles. We're going to see all this stuff that went on. We're going to see that God had a specific plan, though, for Jesus. And he got him through all these things despite what man tried to do to him. How man tried to change God's plan. God always is in control and can do whatever he wants, which is awesome. I love that. Maybe some of you guys are having a tough time right now, okay? Maybe you guys just started school and things aren't going so well. Maybe in grades, maybe with friends, maybe your parents are fighting, going through a divorce. Maybe a lot of stuff is going on in your life right now. But know that God, just like he did in this story, has a specific plan for your life. Guys, if you do not follow God and take his path, which he has planned for you already, he will not put somebody in your place. That spot will go vacant. God will do whatever he's got to do, but just like Jesus, we have a specific plan that we need to follow. And that's why it's so important that we're living for God. And here's the deal, you guys. God isn't surprised in this story, okay? God's not like, oh my gosh, Joseph's having these thoughts about doing something to Mary. What am I going to do? No, God already saw it. And he was like, it's all good. I'm going to take care of it. And so he knew Joseph's thoughts way before Joseph even did. And he made a plan to do what he was going to do. So he sends an angel in a dream to comfort Joseph. The angel says, Joseph, no worries. The baby, it's of God. She's going to bear the Messiah. So don't worry about it. Take care of your wife and be with her. So God says the same to you guys, okay? He's saying, don't worry. I already have been there. I've already seen your problem. I already foresaw everything, okay? And I'm going to take care of it if you would just cling to me and I'll take you through it. Verse 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took his wife, and he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph obeyed what the God said, and before he fell asleep, you know, he was like, I got to do something about Mary. And then God comforted him in the dream, and then after that, now he took Mary and he brought her to be his wife. Instead of waiting the year for betrothal, he took her right away to be his wife. So they probably moved in together, which is great. So instead of waiting this customary year, they decided to go. And Joseph was a good husband, and he took care of his pregnant wife. Now, Matthew doesn't give a lot of details about the birth of Christ, you guys. All he says is that he was born. He doesn't give a lot of detail. But in Luke, they do. In Luke's gospel, you guys, we see a lot more about the about what happened with Jesus, how he was born, and things of that nature. So here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Bethlehem, okay? How many of you guys have heard O Little Town of Bethlehem, right? Okay, I ask that because every time I think of Bethlehem, that song pops in my head. You know what I mean? So I can't get it out of my head, so now I want you guys to have the same pain I have. I'm just kidding. So just as, so we saw how the Messiah, you guys, had to be of the lineage of Eve, right? Okay? You guys all understand that. He had to be born of a woman from Eve's lineage, all right? We know that. And then the second thing we saw was that the Messiah had to be born of a virgin. We see that in the beginning of Matthew, okay? So the next part I want to talk about is this thing that really proves Jesus is Messiah. As if those things didn't prove it enough, here's some more stuff. So when you guys were a baby, all right, and you were living inside your mom, hanging out, you didn't probably talk to her much. You probably weren't like, hey, I want to be born in Albuquerque. Hey, I'd like to be moved over here, right? You can't do that. You were a baby. And my point is that Jesus was also a baby, okay? Jesus was also a baby. It wasn't like he came out of his mom being like, hey, I'm starving. Man, it was hot in there or something. You know what I mean? It's not like he did any of that stuff, right? He was a normal baby, limited. He couldn't move. He couldn't do what he wanted to. He was being taken care of by God, of course, and by his mother and earthly father. Of course that is. And this is why my point. Because Jesus was, yes, 100% God, like we talked about, but he was also 100% man. Therefore, he was a baby just like any other baby, okay? And he came out of the womb the same way. And he learned how to speak the same way that we learned how to speak and the same way that we learned how to walk, okay? And check this out. This was the prophecy, though, that God had made about the Messiah. Micah 5:2, God says, but you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers. For out of you shall come a ruler, capital R, speaking of the Messiah, who will shepherd my people Israel. Okay? That is amazing. I'm going to tell you why. This was once again a prophecy about the Messiah saying that he would be born in Bethlehem. If Jesus was not the Messiah, how could he have been born in Bethlehem just like prophecy promised? We'll look at more in the weeks to come about other prophecies that he has fulfilled, you guys, but he could trace his lineage all the way back to Eve. He was born of a virgin, and number three, he was born in Bethlehem. You cannot choose where you're born. You cannot choose where you're born. I couldn't just be like, hey, I want to be born in Colorado like I was, and I can't choose my lineage, right? I can't say, hey, I want to be from that king and be part of his lineage. I can't do that. Babies don't do that. That's up to God, okay? So you got to understand, the same thing was for Jesus. Had he been just a man and not also the Messiah, who knows where he would have been born? But he wouldn't have been able to be of Eve's lineage, a virgin birth, and born in Bethlehem. You can't just choose where you're going to do it. But God can do whatever he wants. And that's why when he says that the Savior is going to be from Eve and that the Savior is going to be born in Bethlehem, it happens. Because here's the deal. When Mary and Joseph find out that Mary's pregnant, they are 80 miles away from Bethlehem. Okay? This isn't like jump in your car and, you know, drive 80 and get there in an hour. This is like jump on hopefully a donkey if you got one and get there in like who knows how long, which is like crazy, right? Because the Messiah has to be born in Bethlehem, but they're 80 miles away. So what is God going to do about this, right? Because if God promised that he's going to be born in Bethlehem, that Messiah better be born in Bethlehem or else God is wrong, right? Or else God is wrong. Luke, I'm going to go to Luke real fast, all right, guys? If you want to go there with me, it'll be in Luke chapter 2. But if not, I'll read it to you. This is what God is going to do about this, which is amazing. So, Joseph and Mary, 80 miles away. How are they going to get back to Bethlehem? Because they don't know that he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Maybe they do. Maybe they read the scriptures, but maybe they don't. All right, ready? And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius, a governor of Syria, so all went to be registered into their own city. Joseph went from Galilee out of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. This is amazing, you guys. So God uses this decree because the Romans were ruling at this time. So Caesar says, hey, I'm going to tax you guys. I need to make sure I know where everybody is. So I'm going to do a census. I want everybody to go back to where they're from. So everybody go back to where you're from. And so, of course, they were under Roman law, so they had to. So Joseph had to go back with his wife to where he was from, Bethlehem. Is that amazing? Like, God used that event. God made that decree happen. God made that decree happen. God is the one who obviously made Caesar say, everybody back to your own place, so that way Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. He had to be born in Bethlehem, you guys. If God made a mistake, why on earth would we worship a God who makes mistakes? We don't worship God because for some silly reason, you guys. We worship him because he's perfect, holy, and he's true, and because everything he tells us in here is truth, right? I hope you guys wouldn't, and I wouldn't stand up for a lie in the Bible. Could you imagine if Jesus went going around saying that he was the Messiah, but he wasn't born in Bethlehem? Who would believe that? We have the scriptures saying that he has to be born in Bethlehem. And so he's fulfilled the scriptures. So that's why. And who else besides a powerful God who knows everything and can control everything could possibly have all those things happen to Jesus that he would fulfill all the prophecies? I was going to keep going, you guys, but there's a lot more to the Christmas story. And next week we're going to look at the wise men, as you guys know who they are or have heard of them, and who they really are. We're going to see who they really are and what they really were up to. We're going to see about a satanic plot to kill kids, to kill baby Jesus. We're going to look into that. But I hope you guys find strength in your faith over this message. That Jesus wasn't just some guy who came down out of nowhere and said, I'm God, I'm the Messiah. No, things were written about him hundreds to thousands of years before he was born. And he fulfilled every single one of those things that he said. And I hope you guys know that what that means, that if God said you must be born in Bethlehem, then when God says you must have a relationship with Jesus to go to heaven, that he surely means that too. That God means everything that he says. What a gift God has given us in the Christ Jesus. So awesome. And I was thinking about this gift that God gave us. And the only thing that I could think of was how different this gift is to all of us. You know, because some of us have received this gift of Christ, and it means everything to us. We love to worship. We love to read our Bibles. We love to be around God. We love to seek his counsel. We live for him alone. And then there's some who have received this gift of Christ, and they received it, but just like an old Christmas toy, they've decided that it's not cool anymore. And so they put Jesus in the bottom of the toy box with everything else that they don't want to hang out with anymore. And I pray that if you guys have made a commitment to Jesus in your life and you haven't been walking with him, that you would take him back out of the box or wherever you left him, right? I pray that. And then there's those of you who don't care. There's those of you who have yet to open up the gift of Jesus. Imagine if you went down on Christmas Day and there was a bright, awesome-looking present on the Christmas tree waiting there for you with your name on everything, your name on it and everything. And you said, I don't really want to open it. I don't want to open it. And so you leave it there. And every day you come down and you see that gift there. I don't want to open it. I don't want to open it. And years go by and that gift just sits there and sits there. But it's still waiting for you and it's still your gift. And that's what Jesus is for those of you who haven't committed your lives. He's saying, here, open the present up. Open the present up. I'm waiting for you to open it up and to accept me. That's how the Lord works, you guys. He doesn't barge in. He doesn't make you open up the gift. God gave us a gift, and it's up to us to open it and receive that gift. And so I pray that you guys would be those people who receive the gift, you know, because you guys are not exempt from anything. You've heard truth. You know the truth. Nothing says that you will be here forever, that everything will be okay. Nothing says that. You guys know how the world is. I pray that tonight, you guys, if there's anybody here who hasn't opened up the gift or who's opened the gift up and left it and neglected it for so long, that you'd get back to what's right, okay? I'm going to pray, and then you guys are dismissed after I pray. But I pray that some of you guys would come talk to me, because I know that there's no way that everybody in here is right with Christ. And if you are, then praise God. But I can tell just by some of your guys' actions that some of you guys aren't right. That's just the way it is. And I just pray you would choose to get right. And I'm here to pray with you guys. Leaders are here. We love you guys. We just want to see you succeed in God, okay? Jesus, thank you so much. God, what a gift you've given us, Lord. Unquestionable, Lord. God, you could have just struck us down years ago and said, you sinful people, what have you done? But God, you say, my loving children, where have you gone? I want to bring you back. God, I pray that, I know there's people here, God, who think, oh yeah, I'll do that later. Or yeah, I don't care. You know what? That they would care, God, because you have been truthful in your word forever. God, thank you for this night, God. Please take us in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.